chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 7 through the remainder of the chapter, and reading the first verse of chapter 12. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I would title the message this morning, Life is. When I preach a gospel message, I'm often drawn to say it's the most important message I preach. And this message today is not more important than the plain preaching of the gospel or a gospel message. But this is a very important message. It's a message to our young people. And I guess I would define a young person, biblically speaking and considering all that I find in Scripture about age and terms such as young and youth, we're probably talking about somebody around the age of 12 on up to about 30. Today, we come to Memorial Day, and it's the first big holiday of the summer season. Schools are getting out, graduations are being held. People are planning for the future. Open houses are being held and observed. And the Lord has drawn me to this message that, again, I say is not as important as a message concerning the plain gospel. But at the day and the hour in which we find ourselves, very important message. I come to this place with this thought that if this was the last message I was ever going to preach, if I knew this was the last message I was ever going to preach on earth, I would still preach this message because it's the message the Lord has given unto me. Life is. How do you finish that statement? How would you complete life is? What would you say in connection with that statement? I obviously feel a burden today, and I've struggled with How can I get people to really think? How do I get our young people to really connect and think with what God is saying to us this morning? I literally thought, well, maybe I'll step out of the pulpit, come down the aisle. Some preachers do that. Preachers who move around like that usually get high ratings because people like the entertainment value. But I'm not much of a move arounder. I need the pulpit to hold me up. I'm weak and I'm frail, nervous all the time. And I venture too far away from the safety and security of the pulpit. I don't know what might happen. But how do you complete that? There's a crisis in our country. A crisis concerning the subject of life. I think I said Wednesday evening, I don't think there's any hope of it improving. Life is, as I thought about that statement, life is, first thing that came to my mind is, life is a gift. Amen. Life is a gift. You don't earn it, you don't deserve it. Nothing about what you could do or ever hope to do was taken into consideration. God created you and God gave you life. Life is a gift from God. And we need to be careful about how we trifle with life, considering it's a gift from God. With every gift God gives us comes responsibility, comes accountability, I believe. Life is a gift God has given you. Life is in God's hand. Who lives? Who dies, who's healed, who's raised, who's born, who passes away. Life is in God's hand. It's not in our hand. It's not in the medical field's hand. It's in God's hand. Your heart beats because God caused it to beat. And all the wonder of our creation, all the wonder of life, life is precious. I think the overall direction of our country really declares the thought life is cheap. Life is nothing. We find ourselves as a nation once again in crisis mode as far as peace and existence and the continuation of our government and our freedoms. All over the battle of life. Life. Life is precious. All the money in the world, all of the world, cannot be given in the exchange for life. You didn't purchase your gift of life. You didn't purchase the gift of life that is that child. That mom and dad looked forward to and saw brought into this world and are charged with raising up. My precious, I mean it's priceless. You can't put a dollar value on it. In Sunday school, We saw the death of a young boy. Plainly and truly, he died. And God giving him life once again. And in that lesson this morning, we see that life was a gift. In all the applications of the situation that Israel was in and Elijah the prophet was in, life is in God's hands. Life is precious. The woman lost her child, lost the life of her young boy, and she could not put a price on that life, nor could she pay a price to bring that baby or that boy back to life. It's precious. Life is to be lived. Not thrown away, not discarded, not destroyed, not eliminated in the name of convenience. Life is to be lived. Life is not to be ended cheaply or easily. And the taking of life is something God is greatly displeased with. Life is a gift. Life is in God's hands. Life is precious. Life is to be lived. Life is. In our text, we find three R's concerning life. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but three R's concerning the life of a young person. And when I describe what is a young person, as I've described it this morning, it takes in pretty much most of the congregation today. If you go up to 30 or 35, considering where middle age falls. The first R is in verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. I don't see much rejoicing. I don't see much joy displayed in the lives of young people in the day and time in which we're living. It's not just because of the pandemic. It's not just because of all that we've gone through for the last 3 years. I don't see much joy in the faces of young people. And the preacher, which is his name by the writing of Ecclesiastes, calls the young person to rejoice in his youth. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'm going to shock you. I'm going to tell you something you don't expect me to say. God wants you, young person, to eat, drink, and be merry. He wants you to enjoy life. Verse number 7 describes youth. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Then the darkness and the shadows and the storms all speak about older age. Oh, it's good to be young. And it's good to enjoy life. It's good to rejoice in the days of your youth. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. Rejoice. Time is passing much faster than you can comprehend. Only an older person can tell you how fast it's going by. In the blink of an eye, your youth will be gone. We often say life is short. Nothing can be truer said than life is short compared to eternity, where there is no time. So life is short, so rejoice in your youth. Because he describes in verse number 8 and then down in verse 2 through about verse 7 of chapter 12, he describes the old person. Now he's not saying, as somebody I was reading stated well, he's not saying young people don't have troubles, and he's not saying old people don't have joys. But generally speaking, youth, the first portion of our life, is supposed to be a time of rejoicing, a time of enjoying life, a time of making use of every moment, seeing life as a gift from God, as precious, life to be lived. But he says in verse number 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Eat, drink, and be merry. Do your own thing. Please yourself. Yeah. But the last part of the verse, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Rejoice, O young man. Enjoy life. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into account. There's two ways of saying this. There's two ways of reading this portion of Scripture. I think both have merit. Eat, drink, and be merry. Live like you want to, and God's going to get you. That's the way it's usually preached. And there's truth. There's elements of truth to that statement. But you can also read this passage of Scripture as God saying in His Word, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and know all the while you're living these days and rejoicing in these days. Know all the while, live these days, knowing all the while that God is going to hold you accountable. So rejoice. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing. Rejoice, O young man, young lady. But rejoice knowing that God is going to hold you accountable. I believe he's telling us to rejoice in our youth, but to rejoice within godly parameters. First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6. Listen to the instruction of God's word from Paul to Timothy. And Timothy's being charged to pass it along to others. Timothy is a man who was called young. He's told not to despise or let anybody despise his youth. Verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6. Charge them that are rich in this world Our thought isn't to do with rich people. But we're going to look at this passage of Scripture in application to young people. Jesus charged us not to be covetous, for a man's life consisteth not in the things that he has. Life is not judged by the having of things, or how many things we have, or how many toys we have. Charge those that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Charge these people that they be not high-minded, that they don't trust in uncertain riches, but that they trust in the living God. And what does God do for us? He gives us all things richly to enjoy. So, young person, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in uncertain riches, but make sure you trust in God, who provides all that you have for your enjoyment. Verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Charge them that they do good. See, this connects with our message in this first point. Rejoice, O young man. Don't be high-minded or trust in uncertain riches. Trust in God who gives you everything. He gives it for your enjoyment. Be rich in good works. Be rich in those things that are pleasing to God, who gives you all things richly to enjoy, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, that they might seize eternal life. So rejoice, O young man, but rejoice and enjoy life knowing God is going to hold you accountable. Rejoice within the godly parameters that are found in Scripture. Rejoice and enjoy life within the godly parameters that have been trained and ingrained within you by your parents, if you have godly parents. Rejoice and enjoy life within the godly parameters that maybe were instilled by a grandparent or by a church or by a Sunday school teacher or by a preacher or pastor. Rejoice, O young man. The second R is found in verse number 10 of our text. This is a familiar passage of Scripture and outlined frequently, same way we are looking at it today. So this is nothing new. Verse 10 says, therefore remove sorrow from thy heart. Who's he speaking to? Verse number 9, the thought begins with, rejoice, O young man. Rejoice within the godly parameters that you should know and should have been taught. Enjoy life, knowing as you live your life, that you will give an account to God. Therefore, he's still speaking to the young person. Remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. Remove sorrow from thy heart. The word sorrow means vexation. anger, grief, sorrow, or spite. And the young person is called to remove sorrow, evil. Speaks of adversity, affliction, calamity, wretchedness, wrong. I believe there is an application to seeing the word evil as referring to sin. And the young person is told to rejoice in their youth, enjoy life, all the while knowing you're accountable to God. Then young people are told to remove sorrow and evil. I believe you do that principally by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you're in the driver's seat here. I'm not taking anything away from the sovereignty of God. I'm not belittling God or contradicting Scripture. But the way the text lays before us is the young person is called to rejoice in their youth. The young person is called to remove sorrow and evil from their heart, from their flesh. Do it because childhood and youth are vanity. They're empty, they're fleeting, they're passing. They don't last very long. So you're in the driver's seat. The first way you remove sorrow from your heart and you put away evil from your flesh is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again to save sinners. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And a person is saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing themselves a sinner, repenting, and in faith receiving Jesus Christ. So that's the principal way you remove sorrow and evil from your heart and your flesh. But in the context, there's also the thought that you remove sorrow and evil from your heart and from your flesh by the choices you make. Every single day you make choices. Every single day you come to crossroads and you make decisions. Mom and Dad aren't there to dictate. Mom and Dad aren't there to tell you which is the right decision. And the instruction of God's word is to remove sorrow from your heart, put away evil from your flesh, first of all by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. But as you live this life, you remove sorrow from your heart and you put away evil from your flesh by the choices you make. Choose wisely. Understand the choices you make removes many sorrows. Or the choices you make may add many sorrows. Much of what is undesirable, much of what is unpleasing in old age is a result of what was done in young age. So the choices you make in youth will remove sorrow and evil from your heart and from your flesh and will keep you from having sorrow and regret when you're older. Oh, to be able to live life over again, knowing what we know now. Oh, to be able to live life over again knowing what we know now. You know what? We'd make better choices, better decisions. And the end result of when we find ourselves old, we'll be in much better condition. If we could do that. But see, life has no replay. Life has no redo. Remove sorrow from your heart. Put away evil from thy flesh. It's up to you. Some of you have already made bad choices. You think maybe nobody else knows about. But you know. You're going to have to live with those consequences, according to this passage of Scripture. Some of you maybe have made bad choices that are reversible in their effect. You can make changes. You can make better choices. You make new choices. Be renewed. Verse number 1 of chapter 12, the third R is remember. Remember thy Creator. There it is again. In the days of thy youth. Young person, around 12, 13 years of age, 17, 18 years of age, 20, 21 years of age, somewhere in your 20s, maybe you're in the 30 area. Rejoice! Oh, young man, in thy youth. But rejoice and chart your course in life, knowing God will hold you accountable. Remove sorrow and evil from your heart and from your flesh. Know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And make wise choices. And remember thy Creator. I'm only beginning to consider what's the significance of the Creator being mentioned. He doesn't say, remember thy Savior, remember thy Redeemer, or remember thy God. But we're called in days of youth to remember our Creator. Remember who it was who made you, who created you, who gave you life, who's given you life to live. Remember your life is in God's hand. And you're alive because He has blessed you with life. Before the years are gone and before old age has come upon you, remember your Creator. I think that's best defined as remember your Creator in the days of thy youth by living for Christ now. Amen. You remember your Creator in the days of your youth by living for Christ in those days. Amen. Not waiting so all you have is regrets and old age to look upon. Rejoice, O young man. God would have you to rejoice, I believe, and be happy and enjoy life. But rejoice all the while knowing that for these things, God will bring thee into judgment and accountability. Remove sorrow and evil from your heart and from your flesh by knowing Christ as your Savior and by the choices you make. Remember thy Creator. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, The saying of I have no pleasure in them are the days referred to just previously. Remember your Creator in the days of thy youth, lest you find yourself with your youth gone. And a handful of regrets. Life is a gift. Life is in God's hands. The beginning of life and when life ends is God's business. Life is precious. Life is to be lived. We naturally want to live. It's programmed into us. A child is made a living soul. Not at the moment that birth takes place, but a child is made a living soul within its mother's womb, I believe at conception. And that little baby doesn't have anything to do with the starting of that heart beating. That's God's business. And that baby doesn't ever think about that heart beating. Because even within its mother, there is a natural desire to want to live. Natural desire to want to live. That child comes forth. And that child takes its first breath. And that child is never told to breathe. That child is never told to maintain its breath. That child will go through most all the days of its life not even thinking about breathing. Because it's programmed into us to want to live. You look at the wonder of the human body and all that is a part of this natural desire to want to live. Every single day, your heart, your lungs, your livers, your internal organs, and all the parts of your body just continues to do its business and you don't ever have to think about it. Or you don't have to maintain it. Your body wants to maintain life. There are actions and there are reactions that we do in the human body just naturally because we want to live. It's natural to want to live. And I want to tell you, there's something wrong with wanting to die. Did you get that? Well, Paul said to die is gain. But Paul never said death was something he desired and he was waiting for. He wanted to die. To live was for Christ. It is natural to want to live. Our bodies perform miracles every single day that display the fact that we want to live and preserving life is natural. There's something wrong with wanting to die. There's something wrong with a consuming thought of death and dying. We naturally want to live. And there's something wrong with wanting to kill people. It's not natural. It's contrary to the way God makes human beings. To think about and desire to die. And there's something unnatural about being a human being that God has put within us to want to take the life of someone else. a young man himself, I think he was 18, thereabouts, took a weapon and went into a school and took the lives of 21 human beings, most of which were all school-aged children. That's not natural. He didn't have the right to do that. I don't think about the parents when these tragedies happen. My first thought isn't about the parents. My first thought isn't about the families that are suffering greatly. I don't know why, but my first thought goes to the child and what the last minutes of their life was like. And no child should have to feel the terror that those 18 or 19 young children experienced, not counting the ones who were injured and wounded. If you're consumed with thoughts of killing somebody, oh, though we're Baptists, we're Christians, we live in Ohio. That doesn't mean people don't have thoughts about wanting to kill somebody. You have thoughts of killing somebody, that's unnatural. There's something wrong. Something wrong with wanting to take a life. We naturally want to live. There's something wrong with our having thoughts of suicide. That's not natural. The mind may tell you, your emotions, your feelings may tell you, you'll be better off. Your mind will tell you, your feelings, your emotions will tell you, you'll get even, you'll make a name for yourselves by doing this. Your mind will tell you, your feelings and your emotions might tell you, you'll end all your suffering if you kill yourself. That's stinking thinking. It's wrong thinking. Remember that the focus of our creation, our existence, the focus of all of Scripture, is we naturally have a desire to live. And when we think about death, or we think about killing somebody, or we think about committing suicide, we're doing something that is unnatural. And I beg of you, and I plead with you, not to let yourself go down those paths. See how unnatural it is. See how wrong it is. Talk to somebody. Get help. Don't let your body be convinced to do something that you're going to forever regret. You're not going to be better off. You're not going to get even with anybody. You're not going to make a name for yourselves. You're not going to end all of suffering. You have no promise of those things. But you have life. And life is a gift. Life is carried in God's hand. Life is precious and life is to be lived. Rejoice in your youth. Remove sorrow and evil during the days of youth. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember what is natural. Remember what is desirable. And when you're having thoughts that are unnatural and undesirable, that are just wrong, stop. That's an oversimplification, but stop. In dealing with discouragement and depression, thoughts of life's not worth it, I often tell people that what you need to do is keep on taking little steps. Keep on living. Keep getting up every day and going about the doing of the right things. Get up and every day keep on doing those things that are pleasing to God and that we're designed to do and to feel. Because most of the time, these bad feelings and these bad thoughts, they're going to pass. But don't go down those paths. Don't pursue them. Do what's right. God would have us to rejoice in our youth. Remove sorrow and evil from our youth. Remember our Creator in thy youth. And if that was too simplistic for you, you can't overcome your thoughts about death. You can't overcome your thoughts about killing you. You can't overcome your thoughts about doing yourself harm. Get help. Get help. Talk to mom and dad. Talk to somebody you can trust. I've never been a big fan of drugs for emotional things. But I've learned through the course of my life that sometimes they're a good thing. Sometimes they're needed. Sometimes they're beneficial. But dwelling on death, taking the life of another human being, or killing yourself solves nothing. You're not going to achieve, you're not going to experience, I don't believe in any way possible, I don't believe you're going to experience the desired result of why people do these things. In recent days, there was a celebrity who took her life. And if I remember right, the details are she was 76 years old. And she couldn't hold out for another day. 76 years of age. And she believed the lie that she'd be better off, more famous, or would end all of her suffering. I've seen suicide. And I've never seen a pretty suicide. I've seen people who have shot themselves in the head. I've seen people who have hung themselves in the tree of their backyard. I've preached, at least as I just tried to do a quick recall, I've preached at least two funerals for people who have committed suicide since I've been here. In the very early years of my time here at Wasion, I preached the funeral of Brother Mike Channel's brother, who took his own life. I remember like it was yesterday. I think Brother Scott went with me. We went up. Nothing pretty about that experience. We had just done a bunch of the grinding and preparation for seating here around the building. And I was sowing grass seed. I remember like it was yesterday, covered with dirt. My wife come racing up to tell me that the Ramies had a son who committed suicide with a firearm. Doesn't conjure up pleasant thoughts. There's nothing pretty about it. And I'm sorry, I'm not done yet. But this is important. This is important. There's discouragement everywhere. There's depression everywhere. There's thoughts of death everywhere. There's thoughts of killing everywhere. I think we're on the course of setting a record probably this year with mass casualties. And I believe there's three things that attribute to all this doing of that which is unnatural. First of all, there's no fear of God. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of standing before God, being accountable to God. God is real. And everyone will give an account of themselves. Talks about that in this passage of Scripture. Remember now thy Creator. Remember now, O young man, remove sorrow and heart from thy heart and from thy flesh. Know that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Second thing I think we have a problem with is we don't believe in absolute truth. There is no absolute wrong or right. I'm here to tell you there is absolute truth and there is an absolute right or wrong. Taking the life of another human being, taking your own life, dwelling upon death, wishing somebody dead, desiring somebody dead. It's wrong. God declares it's wrong. If you have any fear of God, you'll change your thinking. You'll keep on taking those little steps down the right path until it passes. Or you'll seek help. Or you'll talk to somebody. You'll take whatever steps necessary. Without going too far. If you don't keep taking those little steps, and when it's so bad, you need to talk to somebody. You don't talk to somebody. You're going to continue down the wrong path. You're going to find yourself in a vulnerable position where you make the wrong decision at the wrong time. And it's irreversible. There's no fear of God. There's no belief in absolute wrong and right. And there's very little seeing of the sanctity of life. Life is a gift. Life is in God's hands. Life is precious. Life is to be lived. We are programmed to want to live. There's something wrong when we're going in the opposite direction of living and life. And we need to take the proper steps in the right direction and keep on doing the right things till these thoughts pass. And if they don't pass, we talk to somebody. And the first person I'd recommend you talk to is Jesus. Talk to God. Sooner or later, I'm going to preach on the subject of prayer. Why pray? Why pray? If God is sovereign and in control of everything, one of the reasons we're going to come to is because God designed prayer to be a therapy. We don't need a psychiatrist. We can talk to God. Prayer is not supposed to be just an asking for this and for that. Give me this and give me that. Prayer is supposed to be a talking with God, a communicating with God. Prayer is supposed to be about getting in our closet, getting in a private place, and telling God all about it. Because God has the answers. When I say it's discouraging that doesn't look like things are going to get better, it's because I don't believe there's going to be a renewed fear of God. We're going farther and farther away from Him. This day of self and do whatever you please is yourself. I don't believe we're ever going to go back to a day when we, as a society, believe in absolute truth. There's things that are absolutely wrong and absolutely right, but there are. I don't know what's going to happen with abortion in this society of ours. But it appears to me we're pretty divided, and I don't think abortion's going to go away. It just aggravates me when I see these people protesting and talking about a woman's right. We shouldn't believe in any fear of God. We shouldn't believe in the absolute truth. We shouldn't believe in the sanctity of life. Because a woman has rights. And I just want to scream at the television when I'm watching the news. What about the baby's rights? That baby is a human being. That baby is a soul. That baby is a gift of God. That baby is precious in God's sight. That baby has been given a life that is intended for it to live. How vain it is to think a woman has the right to end life. Something's wrong when I'm going to close. All you want to do is die, and all you think about is dying. Change your thoughts. Think about life. There's something wrong when you think about killing somebody and taking another life. Your brain will convince you of anything, but don't believe it. Believe it's wrong to take another life. There's something wrong when you think about taking your own life. You don't have that right either. Some people believe that a Christian can't commit suicide. That if a person commits suicide, it's evidence that they were lost. I've never been able to go that far because I've seen Christians that have taken their life. Because a Christian can get just as messed up mentally and emotionally as a lost person to get out of the will of the Lord or away from the Lord. But how do you know what awaits the other side of taking your life? It's not worth the risk. Live. Live. Trust the Lord. Don't listen to the mind when it tells you you'll be better off. Don't listen to your mind when you hear the words, well, you kill them, you'll get even. You'll make a name for yourselves. Don't listen to the mind when it tells you, you end all of your suffering, it'll all be better. You don't know that. You don't know what's on the other side. Life is precious. Life is seen as all of the opposites of this message in our society today. God help us to see it through the right lens. Let's stand.